foundational blocks to Messianic Judaism, Israel, a Yom HaShoah message, and here is the subtitle, a response to objections by those who do not embrace and thus understand Messianic Judaism. But hopefully it hits home for you that what I'm about to share with you today and over the next few weeks, I don't want them just to be on the website, which is where they'll be, but I want them to be the most viewed pages that you keep going to over and over again. You have many resources on our website, and I need to continue to establish that point. So that is a lengthy subtitle, yet it is intended to convey the intent of where we are going from here. Where we are going is intended to establish a set of foundational blocks, set alongside the cornerstone that rests upon the foundation of what you believe and thus will be able to transmit. If you can transmit the gospel, you can transmit the vision. The vision of this congregation, the vision of Messiah, because technically they're one and the same. To review for some of you and to reveal to others, in that this may appear to be new. When we look at the aspect of foundation, it is so vitally important to anyone who believes that their foundational beliefs are firm. This is based on the foundation. Many consider the foundation of their faith to reside in the New Covenant writings, while others will point to the entire Bible, which is not incorrect. It could be even more focused. Everything we need as believers resides within Scripture. Yet there is even a foundation within Scripture that needs to be understood and thus embraced. Matthew 22, starting in verse 34. But when the Pharisees learned that he had silenced Zedekim, the Sadducees, they got together. And one of them, who was a Torah expert, asked the Shaliah a question to trap him. Rabbi, which of the mitzvot in the Torah is the most important? He told him, you are to love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. This is the greatest and most important mitzvah. And the second is similar to it. You are to love your neighbor as yourself. All of the Torah and the prophets are dependent on these two mitzvot. So you want a foundation within a foundation? That's your foundation. That's what's holding everything together. These two that Yeshua referred to in Devarim or Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, and Leviticus 19, 18, these two mitzvot upon which everything rests upon, or in the case of the complete Jewish Bible, are dependent upon. That is, everything else is based on, rooted in, and thus do not exist without them. You take those two away, it's a house of cards. Yet God establishes a foundation within his word, a foundation that is not absent of his word, but existed before he even revealed his word. I'm not saying before his word, because he is the word and they are one. Where are these two mitzvot found? Torah. Thus, even within Torah, there is a foundation within the foundation. I've conveyed for years that the foundation by which your faith in Yeshua is built upon is not simply the entire Bible, but Torah itself. Why? Why do I say this? Why do I keep pointing you here? Within Torah is everything foundational for Adonai's establishment of the nation of Israel, his people for whom he will execute his plan for the world. He established a nation through one man by a covenant that is generational and does not end upon the death of the person it was enacted with. From one person came many, that would become a nation. A nation would require land and a way to function. Hence, Adonai reveals his mitzvot. This revelation will become the foundation for the nation. Prior to the establishment of the nation, we would see glimpses of the nation's foundation. Rabbi Yoda, what do you mean? It means that all the elements that reside within the mitzvot of Adonai given to the nation of Israel at Sinai did not originate at Sinai, but are foundational to Adonai. God didn't say, here's what I'm giving you now. It's new, it's fresh, you've never seen it before. He didn't do that. Which connects us back to the beginning, which connects us back to Adonai himself. We read of sacrifices, clean and unclean animals, the origin of Shabbat, covenants, abstaining from blood, murder, to name several. Thus there is an origin that already existed before Adonai revealed his mitzvot to Moses and to the children of Israel. Ultimately, what this means is that Torah is the foundation of the kingdom of God. On earth, that kingdom is Israel. For our king is Yeshua, who will return to reestablish that which had been promised. Yeshua's Talmidim knew this, as did anyone in the nation who knew the prophecies, the promises of Adonai made to the people and to a nation. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. When they were together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore self-rule to Israel? Some translations talk about the kingdom of Israel. He answered, you don't need to know the dates or the times. The Father has kept these under his own authority. There's a restoration that's occurring. We're seeing it. It's a work in progress. It's not done yet. And anyone who thinks differently about it not happening will be greatly surprised when it does. A foundation is meant to be built upon. Thus, the foundation of your faith in Yeshua is built upon Torah. Why Torah? Yeshua conveyed everything else depends upon it. If the two most important mitzvot are the foundation for all other mitzvot, then Torah is the foundation for the rest of Scripture that has been revealed to us. There are reasons why the Hebrew Bible does not contain other writings, such as Tobit and Enoch. It is because there are things written in the ancient writings that do not align with Torah. In other words, they contradict what God's word says. They contradict God himself. I have many sayings to help convey a point. Here is one I desire everyone to embrace and establish as a foundation for you that will cause you to look at your own foundation. Time for a home inspection to see if your foundation is sturdy and fortified, or if it needs to be repaired and refortified. If you understand the first five books, everything else will fall into its proper place. Torah is the foundation, and even Yeshua confirms it, both in the verses I had already shared with you when he was asked which is the greatest mitzvot, and when he is speaking to many during his Sermon on the Mount when he says the following, don't think that I have come to abolish the Torah and the prophets. I have come not to abolish but to complete. Yes, indeed, I tell you that until heaven and earth pass away, not so much as a yud or a stroke will pass from the Torah. Not until everything that must happen has happened. Nothing is going to be removed from it. Nothing is going to be added to it. Not until everything that has happened has happened. So whoever disobeys the least of these mitzvot and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys them and so teaches will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness is far greater than that of the Torah teachers and the Pharisees, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. What did he do? Torah, kingdom of God. If you haven't seen this, if it hasn't connected with you, The foundation of the kingdom for people is Torah. The foundation of Israel for the people is Torah. The kingdom of God is basically a representation on earth of Israel. That is, nothing is to pass away from Torah. That is, nothing is to be subtracted from Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Now, Israel, who is the recipient of this? Israel. Now, Israel, listen to the laws and rulings I am teaching you in order to follow them, so that you will live. Then you will go in and take possession of the land that Adonai, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In order to obey the mitzvot of Adonai your God, which I'm giving you, do not add to what I am saying, and do not subtract from it. This foundational block that I keep alluding to appears to be Torah by itself. You really can't look at it that way because Torah has been given to only one nation, one people specifically. Yet the foundation within Torah that Yeshua conveyed, love God and love one another, is foundational for all of Adonai's creation. Yet you cannot separate Torah from the people it was given to. Thus, this foundational block is a combination block of Israel and Torah. I could have done them separately, but as I was putting this together, and this was my introduction, I changed my title because the focus was going to be on Israel as the foundation block. Yet without the promise, and I'm going to say this in a minute, Israel exists through the covenant Adonai made with Abraham. In order for this nation to exist and function, it would need a way to exist, to be set apart from all other nations, a goy kadosh, a holy nation. Not that they are better in and of themselves, but they have been distinguished as being different because of what has been given to them. Romans 9, starting in verse 1. I am speaking the truth as one who belongs to the Messiah. I do not lie. And also bearing witness is my conscience, governed by the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. My grief is so great, the pain in my heart so constant, that I could wish myself actually under God's curse and separated from Messiah, if it would help my brothers, my own flesh and blood. The people of Israel, they were made God's children. The Shekhinah has been with them. The covenants are theirs. Likewise, the giving of Torah, the temple service, and the promises. The patriarchs are theirs, and from them, as far as the physical descent is concerned, came Messiah, who is over all. Everything I listed there is comprised in one place, Torah, but it's expanded upon. Before the prophets, there was the prophet, Moses. Everything that points towards the kingdom, including Messiah, is found in one place, and it's associated with one people. No other people, living or dead, no other nation that exists today or at any time in history, can make this claim. This is what makes them set apart from the other nations. This is what makes Israel God's kingdom and the foundation for the millennial kingdom, where Yeshua will establish his throne on earth and reign for 1,000 years. Foundation is important. And so too are the first row of foundation blocks that rest upon the foundation. This is one of those blocks. Yet I find it interesting that the very body of Messiah does not embrace, as it should, and in its fullness, this foundational block. Envision this. You have a structure built, and within that structure, you have at it a base, a large, very important block missing. Yet the structure is still standing. The structure may still be standing, yet it is not as fortified, as stable, as sturdy as it should be. You witness instability within the structure, yet it has not crumbled because the cornerstone is holding it in place. What I have just shared with you, this is the body of Messiah today. When you dilute something, it is less potent, less impactful. One way has turned into a diluted 40,000 ways. A divided message, a contradicting message, a confusing message. A message that in and of itself is so simple that even a child should be able to understand it. Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. People are bringing children to him so that he might touch them. But the Talmidim rebuked those people. However, when Yeshua saw it, he became indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Yes, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it." And he took them in his arms, laid his hands on them, and made a bracha, a blessing over them. A message so simple that even a child can understand it? Are you smarter than a fifth grader? Within all this confusion, the foundational block of Torah and Israel has been removed from their focus to where the majority believe in supersessionism and replacement theology. That is, the church has replaced Israel as it pertains to the promises of Adonai. So what has happened as a result of that? An understanding of Scripture not based upon Adonai's relationship with Israel and the importance of Torah have led to all sorts of new revelations, air quotes, new revelations, that contradict the very foundation itself. I had shared some of them with you a couple of weeks ago. They're online. Click on it, go over them again. People are becoming more aware and thus embracing that the church did not replace Israel. Yet the church is grafted into Israel, not the other way around. I've used the analogy of the tail wagging the dog. Who is the tail? The tail is most certainly not Israel. People are becoming more aware. People in this room have become more aware. People continue to become more aware. Romans 11:19. So you will say, branches were broken off so that I might be grafted in. In other words, what is that right there? That very verse, replacement theology. Branches were broken off and I came in. What did I do? I replaced the broken branch. Not at all. If you only read that verse, you can justify replacement theology. True, but so what? They were broken off because of their lack of trust. However, you keep your place only because of your trust. You've been grafted in, but you're only there because you believe, because you have faith, because you've accepted what basically has been conveyed. However, you keep your place only because of your trust. And here's the warning. So don't be arrogant. On the contrary, be terrified. My Warner Brothers days. Be very, very careful. For if God did not spare the natural branches, Israel, he certainly won't spare you. So take a good look at God's kindness and his severity. On the one hand, severity toward those who fell off, but on the other hand, God's kindness towards you, provided you maintain yourself in that kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off. Don't boast. Don't be braggadocious. Don't be arrogant. Be terrified. In other words, humble. Moreover, the others, if they do not persist in their lack of trust, will be grafted in. Their lack of trust in what or whom? In God. Not that they don't believe God, not that they don't believe they trust God, but they don't trust the one he sent. No one comes to the Father except through me, Yeshua said. Verse 24, for if you were cut out of what is by nature a wild olive tree and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these natural branches be grafted back into their own olive tree? So verse 19 alludes to replacement. You break one off, you put one in, we're done. Verse 24, they're not going to replace you when they come back, but there's going to be a place for them. Major distinction. What has the impact been upon the Jewish people over the centuries towards these types of teachings and aspects and viewpoints with regards towards them? This past week on Thursday was Yom HaShoah, where we remember the Holocaust and where we say, never forget, never again. Tragic events whose foundation was based on anti-Semitism, simply stated, hatred towards a people for one and only one reason, because they're Jewish. We are left with a list of tragic events. They are the primary victims of the First Crusades in 1096. 4 years later, they were expelled from Germany. 1215 was the first time that they were ever ordered to wear a Star of David. 1290, they were expelled from England. 1306, they were expelled from France. 1492, they were expelled from Spain. 1497, they were expelled from Portugal. 1555 was the creation of the first ghettos. Think of Goshen. People separated, yet God had a place for them. These ghettos were the people being separated from other people. Huge distinction. A people without a home, once again nomads, wandering throughout the world, looking to establish residence, yet continually expelled for no other reason than being Jewish. That would, in essence, lead us to an individual and his intention of ridding the world of the Jewish menace. Even with the defeat of Hitler, it did not eliminate the mindset of anti-Semitism, which is once again on the rise in Europe. We're seeing it in other places as well. Not to mention other parts of the world. For the simple reason, it has existed before the beginning of time. Its revelation to the world may have occurred much later in time. However, the first anti-Semite existed before time began. The Jewish people may not have walked on the earth until Yaakov, but the seed of anti-Semitism was planted long before. The adversary, HaSatan, whose defiance towards God has brought us to where we are today, is the one who stands to gain the most. Should the Jewish people go the way of the Philistines, the Amalekites? Our expulsion means his liberation. One tragedy after another, yet, as a people, still survived even without our own land. Have you ever heard of a nation of people survive without a land? Where are the Philistines today? Where are the Amalekites today? Where's their remnant? There was a glimmer of hope. 1789 through 1799, progress within the French Revolution. Napoleon gave the Jewish people full citizenship in exchange for not returning to the land of Israel. In other words, no more ghettos. And they were provided education as well. For a time, Jews were able to rest from persecution. Unfortunately, that would not last long. The tide turns with the publication of the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, published in Russia in 1903, and fuels the next wave of anti-Semitism in Europe. The premise of the book is a plot of Jewish conspiracy to take over the world. Material in the book is fraudulent. Henry Ford funded publication of 500,000 copies. This book was influential in developing Hitler's hatred towards the Jewish people. And upon Hitler's rise to power, it was taught as fact in German classrooms. I'm not going to use the terms of today, but the terms of today existed over 100 years ago. During this time, there would be the Dreyfus Affair, a trial of a Jewish officer named Alfred Dreyfus in France, accused of selling secrets to the German government, originally convicted of treason, later set free. This event would divide France from the time of its beginning in 1894 to its resolution in 1906. So this progress that was made a few years before basically no longer existed within the same generation. Adonai would begin to stir the Jewish people once again and regather them as promised. As I have conveyed before, not today, but you've heard me say this before, if you nullify and make void Adonai's covenant by eliminating the people for whom the covenant is made with, you eliminate the promise of the covenant. Because the covenant is made by two people, and I'm going to share more in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1. When the time arrives that all these things have come upon you, both the blessing and the curse which I have presented to you, and you are there among the nations to which Adonai your God has driven you, then at last you will start thinking about what has happened to you. And you will return to Adonai your God and pay attention to what he has said, which will be exactly what I am ordering you to do today. You and your children, with all your heart and with all your being. At that point, Adonai your God will reverse your exile and show you mercy. He will return and gather you from all the peoples to which Adonai your God has scattered you. If one of yours was scattered to the far end of the sky, Adonai your God will gather you even from there. He will go there to get you. Adonai your God will bring you back into the land your ancestors possessed, and you will possess it. He will make you prosper there, and you will become even more numerous than your ancestors. If you remember, I've shared charts of the population of Israel over the years. Today is the largest Jewish population that resides in the land than ever before. So if you don't believe anything, in verse 5, look at who's over there now. And then verse 6, then Adonai your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your children so that you will love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your being, and thus you will live. Just as before, when Adonai said what he would do through Avraham, I will make of you a great nation. I will make of you a great nation. And Moses, I will deliver you with an outstretched arm. And with David, I will establish his royal throne forever. This isn't anything we're doing. This is what he is doing, what he promised to do. It is him doing these things. Yet his promises are made to a specific people. Just as with marriage, the covenant is not empowered when one of the spouses dies. The covenant is made with the people. If you remove the people, you remove the promise. Exodus 19:5 and 6. Now, if you will pay careful attention to what I say and keep my covenant, then you will be my own treasure from among all the peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you will be a kingdom of Kohanim. And you will be a kingdom of Kohanim for me, a nation set apart. These are the words you are to speak to the people of Israel. That didn't get spoken to anyone else. That's God speaking to Moses. Tell the people. So there is a connection between Israel and Torah that can't be separated. There is a connection between the promises of God. There's a connection with Messiah and the people. You cannot separate one from the other. You cannot separate Torah from Israel, nor Israel from Torah, because it is of Adonai. Having established this through not one, but two covenants, they are echad, they are one. Thus, when you hear all the noise about the law being done away with, the church or the covenant people of God, or whatever it may be in relation to Israel, remember this message. Remember the promises God made to Israel. No other people, no other nation. Remember that Israel is to be a light to the nation, yet everything that God promised Israel impacts everyone else. Well, what about us Gentiles? It's because of Israel and God's promises with them that you're grafted in. God's not excluding anyone. God's establishing his order. There is a kingdom. It's not the kingdom of the world. It's the kingdom of God. Israel is to be the light to the nations. Isaiah 49:5 and 6. So now Adonai says, he formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Yaakov back to him, to have Israel gathered to him, so that I will be honored in the sight of Adonai, my God, having become my strength. Verse 5 is clearly about Messiah. But keeping in mind, Messiah is the epitome of Israel. He comes out of the nation. Verse 6, he has said, it is not enough that you are merely my servant to raise up the tribes of Yaakov and restore the offspring of Israel. I will also make you a light to the nation, so my salvation can spread to the ends of the earth. If there is no nation, there is no Messiah. If there is no nation, if the people are gone, who does Messiah return to? Because in Matthew, he says, you will not see me again until you say, the Jewish people say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They have to exist. They will never be distinguished, because another element that I'm going to talk about is the promise of the new covenant later on, where it says, if certain things can't be counted, or if certain things don't exist, then the people of Israel won't exist either. Remember, remember, remember. If you will remember, then you can convey, you can transmit this foundational reality as it stands today, not yesterday, not 2,000 years ago, but Hayom, today. And let me close with Isaiah 62. We sang a song. I mean, there's a song associated with it. I'm not going to break out into song here either. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the vindication shines out brightly for her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication and all kings your glory. The nations will see what God is doing with Israel. They saw then, they're going to see again. The nations will see your vindication, all kings your glory. Then you will be called by a new name which Adonai himself will pronounce. So there's a new name coming for the kingdom. God hasn't revealed it yet. You will be a glorious crown in the hand of Adonai, a royal diadem held by your God. You will no longer be spoken of as a Uz or Azusa, meaning abandoned, or your land be spoken of as Shema'a, desolate. Rather, you will be called Hapsi-va, my delight is in her, and your land Be'ula, married. For Adonai delights in you, and your land will be married. As a young man marries a young woman, your sons will marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over the bride, your God will rejoice over you. Is this not the image of Messiah? In John 14, I go to prepare a place. Is Yeshua not the bridegroom and Israel the bride? And the bride has natural branches and wild branches. Can't imagine what the bouquet looks like. I don't know about you, but to me, this is very clear. This foundational block is so clear, so crystal clear, how everyone cannot see it based on what I've shared with you. I could have put more in here. How people do not see it. How people justify the narrative that people create to unjustify it escapes me. Yet it is so clear. And when we provide clarity of this, it will not eliminate anti-Semitism, but it will most certainly dilute it. Because only one can eradicate it. And I believe that will occur on his return. And then it will be permanently eradicated 1,000 years after that, when the source of it will be eradicated. So, I want you not to file today's message, but I want you to leave it open. I want you to embrace it. I want you to keep reviewing it. Because the only way for something to truly take root is to water it, provide light for it, and nurture its growth. The growth comes from God, not you. Yet this is the seed that I'm planting in you today, for which I will say, never forget, never again. So if everybody will please rise.